passage, the two angles to approach that. One is that there is a Gemara that's a little bit later on in the parak, which has some relevance to Tisha B'Av, so even though we're not up to it yet, we should mention it now just for a moment, and we'll get into it in more detail when we do get up to it, is that the Gemara later on in the second parak talks about a relationship between Tfilin and Kriya Shema. And the Gemara says that Kolakori Kriya Shema below Tfilin, if somebody reads Shema without having Tfilin on, so the Gemara has two different ways of describing what exactly the criticism is to be said of such a person. This is a Gemara that appears on the Daf Yudalev on the base, so it's a little bit ahead of where we are. We're responding to Gimel with Aleph. But in the bottom of Yudalev on the base, the Gemara says, Kolakori Kriya Shema below Tfilin, Kilo Me'e the Sheker Ba'atzmo. It's as if he is testifying falsely about himself. Why would that be? Because in the context of Shema, he talks about tefillin as if he wears tefillin, and yet here he is not wearing tefillin. So it's as if he's giving a false testimony about himself. And then the Gemara goes on to say, "Amar Chia, Bar Avam, Rav Yochanan, Kilu Hikriv Ola Below Mincha, Zavach Below Nesachim." It's as if he brought an Ola without a Mincha, and a Zavach without a Nesachim. And it's as if he brought a Korban without something that's supposed to accompany it, so to speak. And as Rabbi Yonah notes in his commentary, in the Zalman Gaon, in his commentary to Brachos, comments a little bit further, two different scenarios here, two different models. The first seems to be implying that you've done the mitzvah, you've just at the same time done something wrong. You've done Kriya Shema perfectly, but you're also at the same time misrepresenting yourself. While the second day seems to say there's something flawed in the performance of the mitzvah itself, that as if the mitzvah requires something that you're not doing. So that has been suggested is relevant to the questions that the Vilna Gaon talks about and others talk about. Let's say a common scenario, somebody doesn't have tefillin at the time, so he's going to have tefillin later, but Zman Kriya Shema is passing. So he wants to say Shema now and put on tefillin later, so would that be subject to this criticism? So on the one hand, the suggestion is made that it's probably connected to these two possible languages, while there are others who note that it seems to be that most poskim agree across the board that that's acceptable, that if you're going to put on tefillin later, then this criticism of the Gemara doesn't really apply, doesn't really pertain to somebody who does wear tefillin in theory, just happens not to be wearing tefillin right now. And there are many who note, Rabbi Ganak actually has a discussion about this in one of his Svarim, and others say along the same lines, Ganak quotes from the Rav, that the Rambam, when he records this halacha, so he records it in Hilchos Tefillin. And one could have thought that it really belongs in Hilchos Kriya Shema. It sounds like it's a detail of Kriya Shema, that to say Shema without Tefillin on is something lacking. So that's telling us how to say Shema. So why should it be in Hilchos Tefillin? So it seems to suggest that really this is a part of the Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim of Tefillin. That Tefillin is done in a certain way where Shema is really the ideal form, the ideal performance of it. In general, it's a whole discussion. What exactly is the obligation of tefillin on a daily basis? The Torah doesn't connect it to davening. Reciting chakras every day is really a din d'rabbanan. So it's not that the Torah, when it gave us the mitzvah of tefillin, the Torah said, put on tefillin during chakras. Really, tefillin is a mitzvah by itself, and there's a whole discussion of Bir Halacha. What really is the Torah's ideal of tefillin? Is it that really we should be wearing tefillin all day? There's no time that's really mentioned in the Torah. So is the idea really that we should be wearing tefillin all day? And just we've limited it as one as that because we believe that we're not capable of maintaining the standards for tefillin all day. So we narrowed it down to a very focused moment. Or is the idea really that the Torah, since it doesn't specify a time, so wearing tefillin 1 minute a day is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of tefillin? And ideally we see there's a kiyum in wearing it a little bit longer, but really the mitzvah of the Torah is fulfilled in a minimalist sense. So that's a discussion in general, but it seems to be that really either way, we have a concern that we're not going to have the right mindset for our tefillin. So therefore, we narrow it down to the time when we're most likely to have the right mindset, which would be Shacharis, and specifically Shema. So Shema is a way of knowing that the attitude we're going to have when wearing tefillin is going to be at the ideal point. And the Gemara here, we'll get to it in more detail, links tefillin and Shema as one big process of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. So therefore, it could be that if it's really about tefillin being enhanced by Shema rather than the other way around, so then we could understand why we're not so concerned if somebody wants to say Shema because his man is going to come and he doesn't have tefillin right now. So we understand why that's not such an issue, because Shema is fine without tefillin. It's tefillin that needs Shema. So when he puts on tefillin later, even after this man, he'll say Shema, and that's acceptable because you can say the psukim at any time of the day anyway. The question is, this is why we're mentioning this now, so the Mishnah Berurah felt that the general practice that we have, that if, let's say, somebody doesn't get his tefillin until 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and he puts on his tefillin then, and he's going to say Shema in that context, so what about Tisha B'Av? Tisha B'Av, it's not so pashut to do that, because maybe any other day of the year, it's alright to say the three paragraphs of Shema in isolation. Let's say it, worst comes to worst, it's Talmud Torah.
Three or two?
Let's say three. Pashas three. So, any other day of the year, okay, so it's Kilu Karev Torah, what's the big deal? Well, on Tisha B'Av, so we have a dual problem, because, first of all, L'chachila, this is what we do, we put on tefillin in the afternoon, because of the Moe characterization, so L'chachila, we don't put on tefillin in the morning, everyone's plan is to first put on tefillin in the afternoon. And that's the one day a year when it seems difficult to do that plan of saying Shema, because we can't just randomly study Shema without it being the mitzvah of Shema, because of the problem of Talmud Torah. So Mishnah Berurah was upset about this. It says you shouldn't do it that way on Tisha B'Av, because we don't have a right to say Shema without the justification. We don't have a right to study these psukim as if it's not a problem when the issue of Talmud Torah on that day. So that's why many explain, as Meganak has there and others have as well, that this is not simply Talmud Torah. This is a part of the mitzvah of Shema. That the nature of Shema is that when we have it on, at the very least, we should be saying Shema. So on a normal day, we'll say Shema and everything else with it as well. But at the very least, we want to have Shema recited when we have tefillin on. And therefore, the fact that we do it on Tisha B'Av, you shouldn't say this is random Talmud Torah, which shouldn't be permitted. This is permitted because it's a part of the function of Shema. Rav Vosner has a tshuva where he also notes that there's kind of he brings a raya also from these Gemaras, that there's an in-between stage, that on the one hand we have a chiyuv of Shema twice a day, and then on the other hand, it's always Talmud Torah if one recites the Sukkim of Shema. So you might say, okay, so it's one or the other. Either I do it Bisman Kriya Shema, and it's the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, and that's fine on Tisha B'Av, or I do it any other time of the day, and it's Talmud Torah, and that might be problematic on Tisha B'Av. So he notes that there's an in-between also, that there's a mitzvah of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim that happens through Shema, and that is in addition to the daily obligation of Shema. So if I did it during the right time, if I did it Bisman, so then okay, I could be yotze my obligation of Shema. But another time of the day, these same sukkim may not fulfill my obligation of twice daily Shema, but it is a kiyum in Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, which is also more than just Talmud Torah that would apply to any psukim, and therefore also again on Tisha B'Av that can be justifiable. So again, the practice of saying Shema while putting tefillin on, even outside that zone, doesn't necessarily have to be an issue for Tisha B'Av.
So why don't we say compromise? Since there are opinions that you can be yotzei kabbalah sol malchus shemayim just with the pasuk of Shema, just with the ahavta, and the afternoon tefillin, let me just say the pasuk with the ahavta.
And that should
not
be
to the second and third paragraph, because maybe that's a violation of Talmud Torah and Tisha B'Av.
Okay, that's an interesting approach. You know, that once we, the Rambam says that once we have Shema defined as it is, so that's what Shema is. The three paragraphs of Shema, the Rambam says, Harei Zeh Kriya Shema. So if we define that as serving a certain function in terms of either the mitzvah of tefillin or this mitzvah of kabbalah samach shemayim. So perhaps it makes sense that we're not going to start paring it down.
That would be the sheet that said the only thing shemayim the higher that's tefillin.
Mm-hmm.
You don't say vayeki v'yachla and taisli.
Okay.
That's not about shema.
Right. Right. So that. I think that's the more prevalent.
Which one is?
To say the text of Shema, not with the extra parshas that are also in the Tefillin. I think. It's also a fascinating related to this point, the idea, well, we mentioned the combination of Shema and Tefillin. So it's a fascinating comment to the Aruch HaShulchan. So we know that in terms of making a bracha on Tefillin, or making two brachas on Tefillin, so there is a major machlokas rishon in how many brachas to make on Tefillin every day, which roughly manifests itself today as a difference between Ashkenazim and Sephardim. There are Ashkenazim who held like the Sephardim with us as well, but most Ashkenazim make two brachas on Tefillin every day, even though it was a subject of debate among the Rishonim. That the Gemara tells us the two brachos that we make, Al Haniach Tefillin and Al Mitzvos Tefillin, but it's not really clear from the Gemara whether you're really supposed to make both brachos every day. The Gemara says that you make L'Haniach Tefillin, and then it says that if you're mafsik, if you interrupt, then you should also make Al Mitzvah Tefillin. So we understand it to mean, so Ashkenazim understand it to mean that if one would be mafsik between the Shalyad and the Shalrosh, he should make both brachos again on the Shalrosh. While if he's not mafsik, the first bracha that he makes on the Shalyad also applies to the Shalrosh. So either way you make two brachos. But the Sfardim understand it to mean that L'Chadchili should only make one bracha on the Shalyad and the Shalrosh, and it's only if you're mafsik that you make the second bracha on the Shalrosh as well. So we've Ashkenazim, let's say, developed the practice that we make both brachos, and then we say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchusu Mavod afterwards, which is the commentaries of Shulchan Aruch explain that we have this approach that if you say a bracha that might not be necessary, we have Baruch Shem Tzricha, then you can fix it with Baruch Shem Kavod Malchusu Mavod. So it's a very strange approach, because normally if you're not sure about a bracha, if you say Suffolk bracha is lahakel, you say leave it out. So to say, well, this bracha we're not sure about, so make it and then fix the problem by saying Baruch Shem afterwards. It's a very unusual approach. It's not the normal rule. So the Aruch HaShulchan has a suggestion, which he says he knows it's mechudish, he knows it's against the earlier tradition of the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, but he wants to put it forward anyway, that maybe the two brachas that we have on Tefillin, so one bracha is on the mitzvah of Tefillin, and the second bracha is a bracha of hodah, it's a special bracha of gratitude for the relationship that Tefillin represents. And since that is specifically in the context of Shema, that we have this idea that Tefillin and Shema together form a unit, so we want to evoke that with Baruch Shem. Baruch Shem, as we know, we discussed it last week or 2 weeks ago, that it has become integrated into the Shema structure. So we are trying to evoke specifically this connection between Shema and Tefillin, because together that whole package, Shema and Tefillin as one unit, represents a special kesher between the Jews and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're giving a bracha for that relationship. The first bracha is for the mitzvah, the second bracha is for that relationship, so therefore in that context that's why we say Baruch Shem. Right, so it's an interesting idea, but all of that again is relevant specifically on Tisha B'Av, because the question comes up, can it be justified when put on Tefillin in the afternoon to say Shema again outside of the context of the mitzvah? So that's how many explain that it has all of that extra symbolism and extra meaning that is addition to its Talmud Torah content. So we'll say more about that maybe a little bit afterwards, but just the part that was relevant to Tisha B'Av wanted to mention first. So let's just spend a few more minutes talking about the basic scenario that we have this year. So we know that this year there is a question how exactly to view Tisha B'Av, because really Tisha B'Av is tonight. Tonight is the 9th of Av, but it's not going to be observed tonight. We're going to observe Tisha B'Av on Sunday. So it leads to a lot of funny terminology, you know, people who are saying, I refuse to fast on Tisha B'Av this year, meaning that they refuse to fast on the 9th of Av, but they will be fasting on the 10th of Av, all kinds of lines people have, reflecting the awkward terminology, we refer to Sunday as Tisha B'Av when it's really not, it's not the date. So it's a question what exactly that means, and it has many halachic ramifications. Do we understand that really this tonight is Tisha B'Av for really most important purposes, that the date is the koveya, is the establishing factor, and that Tisha B'Av doesn't really move from one day to the next. So therefore, what we do on Sunday is really a tashlumen, is really a makeup for the fast of Tisha B'Av, which can't take place on Shabbos. Or should we say that no, we actually do have the ability to pick up Tisha B'Av and to move it, and it's been in its totality relocated from tonight to tomorrow night, and tonight is not Tisha B'Av at all. And that has a number of ramifications for halacha. One of them is the question of whether Dvarim Shavitzina, whether private matters, such as, let's say, the prohibition of marital relations, does that apply tonight? Does that apply on Shabbos Tisha B'Av? So there, the Mechaber, is Machlokas Rishonim, the Mechaber took the view that it did not apply, and the Ramah tended towards the view that it does apply in private. This relates also to the question of what this whole past week was, that we know that there is a concept of Shavua Shechalba, which is really more relevant for Sfarim than for Ashkenazim, because for Ashkenazim the differences are more nuanced, but we know that Shavua Shechalba, the intensity increases in terms of the availability of Tisha B'Av. So the question of what's the story this year? We have two opposite scenarios. Either we have the shortest Shavua Shechalba or the longest Shavua Shechalba. Then if we say Tisha B'Av is really Sunday, so then there's no Shavua Shechalba. The week is over by the time Tisha B'Av starts. There is no week. Or do we say that this whole past week was Shavua Shechalba because Tisha B'Av is really tonight? So this past week is the week in which Tisha B'Av takes place. So that was also a machlokas rishonim, and here the Shulchan Aruch tended towards kula by saying that really it doesn't apply in such a year. But there are those who suggested that the Rama would really say otherwise, because the questions are interconnected. So if we assume that the Rama meant that because he was machmir on the Devarim Shabbatina by the Shabbos, he's really saying that Shabbos is Tisha B'Av, so therefore there should be a Shavua Shechalba that applies to the previous week. There's another reason to say it also, because there's a whole discussion whether we can be more makel about Sunday's observance. Let's say for pregnant women, for nursing women, who normally have a baseline rule that they should fast on Tisha B'Av, but there are many poskim who assume that if it's a nidcheh, so it takes on a different status, and one can be more makel. So some note that if that's what you're really saying that because you're assuming that really Sunday is not Tisha B'Av, that Tisha B'Av is tonight and it can't really be moved, and therefore Sunday is tamatinus that we're making up, and it can be treated with a little bit of a more lenient attitude. So a consequence of that should probably be that you should see the previous week as Shavua Shechalba, because your point is premised on the assumption that really Tisha B'Av is left in its place. It's really on the day of Shabbos, and Sunday is a makeup. There are also at least three different ways to view the Shabbos in terms of the prohibition of Talmud Torah. That we know there's a prohibition of Talmud Torah on Shabbos. I'm sorry, not in general, right? Prohibition of Talmud Torah on Tisha B'Av, as we mentioned before in the context of Tefillin. And there's also, at least theoretically, a prohibition on Erev Tisha B'Av. On the afternoon of Erev Tisha B'Av, we're worried that the sugya is going to be so gushmak that you're going to be still holding in it when Tisha B'Av comes, and the hanah that comes from learning is going to affect Tisha B'Av as well. And the Beis Halevi famously said that everyone thinks I'm such a machmir, I have a few kulas. One of the things that make the one is I allow Talmud Torah and Erev Tisha B'Av. Right, a couple of kulas, so you shouldn't think that I'm so machmir, I have some kulas as well. So that yields at least three shitas as to what is the nature of Talmud Torah the Shabbos. Because you could say it three ways. You could say that Shabbos suspends the whole concept, there's no Issa Talmud Torah on Shabbos. Or you could say that it doesn't suspend it, and then how does it fall out? So either really it is Tisha B'Av itself, and let's say it's a private activity at least, so a private Talmud Torah maybe would be subject to such a rule. Or you could say it's not Tisha B'Av, but it's still Erev Tisha B'Av, and therefore maybe at least Shabbos afternoon you should have such a concept. So this is a big machlok, because you have three different ways to perceive the Shabbos vis-a-vis that.
I have never understood why if Shabbos is clearly a Doraisa, clearly, and we hold when does Shabbos end, 10 minutes after, 20 minutes after, Rabbeinu Tam after, and so on, then all of a sudden a Shabbos like this, oh, you can't eat for anymore after 8:15. But Shabbos doesn't end till 9 o'clock. It's a Doraiso, and we're machmir the whole year. We're machmir. You don't end Shabbos till Shabbos ends. So all of a sudden, this Shabbos, where you have a Darabanan at the very most of Tisha B'Av, that when they clash, it's the Darabanan that wins. Why?
So there's a couple of premises we have to figure out there. So you're right that Shabbos is Doraisa. The question is, what does that mean that Shabbos is Doraisa? So you're not going to be Mechalel Shabbos. Right? The question is, you're assuming that fasting is a problem as an Issa Doraisa on Shabbos, which is a little bit less obvious for a few reasons. One reason is that, first of all, you won't be fasting the whole Shabbos. You're going to be eating, you could eat a lot over Shabbos. In fact, you could eat more than a normal Erev Tisha B'Av. At least just functionally, because Sudim HaSekis rule doesn't really apply. So you're not really going to be fasting on Shabbos per se. You could make a case to say that even if it's only an hour, but I'm doing it the B'Torah Tainus, that's wrong. The question is to call that an Issa D'Oraisa a little bit less clear, because it doesn't...
I'm not saying Issa D'Oraisa, I'm saying you have a D'Oraisa and you have a D'Rabbanan. Well, all of a sudden D'Rabbanan is pushing away D'Oraisa. We're being told
that's the question, right? So what is the mitzvah d'oraisa that is being weighed here?
Well, we're being told, for instance, that you should bring your sneakers to shul before Shabbos, so right after Mavi put them on. What's an Issa d'oraisa? Where's the Issa of putting the sneakers on before you go to shul? If you're saying, hey, you got to start fasting already 8:15, why can't I put my sneakers on it?
You're not fasting, just not eating. It's just Shabbat al Tassa.
Whatever it is, you're taking away from Shabbos. On a normal Shabbos, this would not be considered in our mind to do this. And we're taking away from Shabbos. If we're telling people that you cannot eat, now I certainly don't eat that much. I usually don't even eat shalishness. Right. I start in the morning in Hashkama, and that's the first meal is in the morning. But it's still, you're taking away from the Kedusha of Shabbos.
So I'll tell you something more than that. So it's actually, the question was asked in the other direction, because our whole assumption that Shavasa, Matamas, and Tisha B'Av this year are pushed off because they end on Shabbos. So the Mechatz Chinuch for one raised the question that it's not so obvious you thought that should be the case. That the assumption that there's a Doraisa involved on top of a Darabanan, you can really question both assumptions. Because the truth is, what is the mucker for the idea that one has to eat on Shabbos at all? So that's a discussion. There were those who characterized that as a mitzvah Doraisa. But others understand it as what we call a mitzvah Nidivrei Kabbalah, because it's not really explicit necessarily in the Torah, the Zechiyah Suda. And if anything, it's connected to a pasuk in Yeshaya, which ironically we read on Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur was Shabbos this year. So ironically, we read it on the day in which we didn't eat on Shabbos. But the pasuk that tells us to eat on Shabbos is from the Haftarah for Yom Kippur, from the pasuk in Yeshaya, which says, "V'karasul Shabbos oneg," that we should declare Shabbos a delight. So we assume that it's impossible to have a delightful atmosphere if you're fasting. So therefore, we have to eat. So we have a chiyuv suda on Shabbos. So what is the nature of the chiyuvim of the Tanesim of Shavasa V'Tamas and of Tisha B'Av? So you may say it's Rabbanan, but others characterize them also as Divrei Kabbalah, because the Pasuk in Zechariah refers to the fast of the fourth day, the fast of the fifth day, right? Some Arvi, some Achamishi. So they both seem to come with Divrei Kabbalah. So Divrei Kabbalah, by the way, whatever the status is a question. The Gemara has an expression, and we'll talk about it for a minute, that Divrei Kabbalah k'Divrei Torah Dami. In a very, very specific, narrow context, the Gemara says that Divrei Kabbalah are equated to Divrei Torah. It's in a very specific context, but the Turi Evan, the author of the Shagas Aryeh, so he took this to mean, for all intents and purposes, that they are fully equated. That the severity of Divrei Torah is assigned to Divrei Kabbalah, so we treated the Chumrah for all purposes. Okay, so either way, whether that's true or not, but they seem to be of equivalent status, that you have, on the one hand, the obligation to eat on Shabbos, and on the other hand, the obligation to fast on the on Shavuos v'Tammuz, on Tisha B'Av, etc. So why is it so clear to us that the obligation to eat on Shabbos should win? So how are we so sure that we push off the Tanesim? Maybe it's not so obvious. Maybe we should say the Sheva Al Tais is to fast, and maybe that should be the priority. It's not clear whether either one should win, but why are we so sure that Shabbos should win over the Tanesim? So some explain that the Pasuk does not really tell us to fast on the 17th of Tammuz and the 9th of Av. It says to fast in Tammuz and in Av. So it could be that l'chachilu okay, din d'rabbanan, that that's when the fast day is, the 17th and the 9th. But the Divrei Kabbalah is satisfied any time during that month, right? So if we push it off, right, so we push it off, so we're not necessarily in violation of Divrei Kabbalah, so we decided that it's possible to accommodate both. If we have the fast in the 10th of Av and the 18th of Tammuz this year, so we'll still fulfill the literal reading of the Pasuk, that it's in the month, the fast of the 4th and the fast of the 5th, and at the same time fits the Divrei Kabbalah of eating on Shabbat. So it's not a simple clash, as you're indicating. To figure out what should win is not so simple.
Let's say that a Sabbataneus, if it would fall out on Shabbos, which you can't, but if it would, you go to
so that's an Abidram. So the Abidram, as quoted by the Beis Yosef, is saying that. That's a big discussion what exactly that means. In reality, it never comes up because our Tish Ar Sarbatavis never falls out on Shabbos, but it does fall out on Friday, and that's the one
that's right.
So it does come up in that context. So that's because the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu uses the phrase Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, this day itself. And that's relevant very much to what we're talking about here, because that seems to suggest that maybe it's like the possibility might be there by Tisha B'Av on some level as well, that there is something kavua in this day, and it's not portable. You can't really move it from one day to the next. So there is some discussion that even if we theoretically would have paskin like this Abidram, we don't know in Lysa because it doesn't come up. So the language is a little bit ambiguous. Everyone assumes that it means that we would fast on Shabbos if the Sar Batavis fell out on Shabbos. But there is maybe room to say, because I think the language is Lohaya Biadena with Kosol Lamacha or something like that, that it would not have been possible to push it off to the next day. So there are some who assume that what it means is that we just wouldn't have been able to move it to Sunday or to a different day. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it would have outweighed Shabbos, that maybe we still would have to skip it, but it's just not portable because in the day itself. So that's really, just to say very quickly, that's really the question about Tisha B'Av. Is Tisha B'Av in the day itself and it's not movable? So it's going to be tonight no matter what, just we have a makeup fast on Sunday? Or should we say, no, it's not so married to the 9th of Av, it could be a different day, and we could pick it up and move the whole thing to Sunday, and that's going to be what's going to happen, and it'll be just as hummer as any other fast day.
Well, that's the question about being fasting on the 10th. Famous tomorrow question. Why is it easy?
Right. So I'll just tell you a quick word about that.
But before you get to that, so if that's true, what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we say Eicha tonight? Why don't we say Kino tomorrow?
So Eicha is very much public avelos. Right. So public avelos is prohibited on Shabbos. So we push off all of that till Sunday. So the question, avelos practices can be pushed off to Sunday. But maybe on some level, the core of Tisha B'Av is set on Shabbos. I'll just tell you a quick word about that. So this is a general question as to what drives Tisha B'Av. Is it the Avelos Shabbos that gives it its intensity, or is it the Tainus component? And there was a suggestion, so you made reference now to the Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara Megillah on Daf Hey, just to say very quickly, the Gemara says that Rabbi wanted to be Oker Tisha B'Av. And Tosus asked the question. Tosus asks it from a Makri, you could ask it just in Oshmoy. And Rabbi wasn't Jewish, Rabbi didn't mourn the Beis HaMikdash. So Tosus gives two possible approaches, that either he felt it shouldn't be more severe than the other Tanaisim, should be treated like Shavuos of the Tammuz, or that he felt like Rabbi Yochanan, that if I was there, I would have made it on the 10th, so it should be on the 10th. He wanted to move it to the 10th instead of the 9th. So two ways to kind of soften the suggestion that he would have wanted to get rid of it completely. So the problem is, the Turiyevan and the Grah point out, that second answer is really completely at odds with the Gemara, because the Gemara itself raises this question that from a different angle, that how could Rabbi have wanted to push it off? And the Gemara answers, again, that it's not as radical as it sounds, but it was a year like this one, that it fell out on Shabbos, and it was pushed off. They said, once we're pushing it off already, let's forget about it. So as the Taryavin and the Grav point out, that's very difficult to reconcile with Tosfos, because according to Tosfos, he wanted it always to be on the 10th of Av. And according to the Gemara, that when it fell on the 10th of Av, he said, forget about it. So he was being spoiled. He's saying, if I can't get what I want, then I'll forget about it. So if he wanted to be on the 10th of Av, so he should be happy that every once in a while it's going to happen. It'll be observed on the 10th of Av. Why is he Davka then going to want to get rid of it? So the Sefer called Avnei Shom, I think they have it here in the Shul somewhere, where he explains that the machlokas was between Rebbe and his colleagues as to what was the main driving force of the severity of Tisha B'Av. So is it the Avelus, or is it the 9th of Av that's historically considered to be a Yom HaMuchel L'Peranius, so there's a significance going back to the Meraglim that the Tisha B'Av had, and that that's what drives its severity. So Rebbe felt that really it's all about Avelus. Tisha B'Av is not such an important date, that's not our focus. It's all about the Avelus of the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, since it's all about Avelus, he said, I think it should be the 10th of Av. I think two things. One is, I think it should be the 10th of Av, because Rubo Shul Heichel Nisraf, most of the Korban happened on the 10th, so that's a better date. And that's what gives it its severity. So he said to his colleagues, he says, if you feel it should be the 9th of Av, so the 9th of Av has its historical significance, and you're more interested in that, so I'll tell you two things. So then, forget about the intensity. Observe it like Shabbos of the Thomas. It's not different than any other day. And it can't be moved. It's not portable. It's like Sarah Batavis, according to the Abadrum. It's in the day. And it's not something that you can pick up and move to the next day. But so if it falls, if you're, so you're basically saying, if you're up to me, I'd always have it on 10th of Av. But if you're saying against me, it should be the 9th of Av, so then L'shitas Chem, it's not portable. L'shitas Chem, it's not something you can move from one day to the next. So that's an interesting work, and that's all at the heart of this question of what exactly is tonight, what exactly is Sunday. And there are those who maybe would suggest that it's perhaps the Machlokas, the Mechaber, and the Ramah. However, it is, has all of the Nafkaminas that we mentioned before. The Nafkamina is less relevant than Marshan, and others talk about a Bar Mitzvah boy who becomes a Gadol on the 10th. Is he really chayav to make up the fast because he just started his mitzvah from that day? That's less nogeya, because presumably he's going to fast one way or another. But the question is a little more relevant, and hopefully next year, whatever day Tisha B'Av is, it won't be a fast one way or another.
Okay.